Hi, my name's Nick Smith, founder and creator of Part-Time Pilot. Now, after 3 years, five flight instructors, and over $22,000 out of my bank account, I was finally able to achieve my dream and become a private pilot. Now, I have a bachelor's and master's in aerospace engineering and over 10 years experience as a flight test engineer. So if it was that difficult for someone like me, no wonder 8 out of 10 student pilots never end up becoming a pilot. So this is why I created Part-Time Pilot, and this is why I'm creating this podcast. This podcast will be your audio ground school and just another way Part-Time Pilot is making flight training easier and more consumable for you. So with over 300 students and counting that have used our content to pass the FAA private pilot exams, I hope that you can use this podcast to become the next student to do so. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy listening to the Part-Time Pilot Audio Ground School Podcast. Hello, hello. My name is Nick. I am the host of the Audio Ground School Podcast. Welcome in. Thank you for joining us. Today, we are going to continue on the theme of check, ride, prep. You know, we've gotten through all the online ground school lessons, and now we're doing stuff, you know, some of the stuff from our check, ride, prep course and how to get you prepared for your check, ride. You know, we talked about what to expect. We gave you example oral exam questions. We told you, you know, how to prepare all your documents and everything to make a good first impression on your examiner. We even told you, you know, what kind of flow the practical part of the exam is going to be. We went over tips and tricks on what you got to do to create your cross-country flight scenario that they're going to give you. And then we even did a mock check ride last week. It was fantastic with our friend Alex. Appreciate that, Alex. And today we're going to continue on that. Now, I mentioned last week that we might do a chairfly visualization. I think I mentioned that last week on the practical part of the check ride. So what I was talking about there is that what I did before my check ride and what I do for any big test or event is I like to visualize it. And the power of visualization, I've been a believer since high school when my high school football coach had me visualize getting an interception on my first varsity play ever. So he had me visualize that. And on the first play ever, literally first play ever, they threw a pass my way and I intercepted it, for those of you that are football fans. So after that, I was a believer in visualization. And so I took that to my flight training. And before my check ride, I kind of had a good understanding because I knew my instructor, knew the examiner, knew kind of what they will have students doing. I knew, you know, our flight scenario of where we're going to go. And so I sat down for the practical part and I wrote out a script of every single thing we're going to do. I sat in a chair and I had my knee board on and I literally mimicked and hand mimed every single thing, every checklist going through. And I visualized what the plane would look like, how we would taxi, what it smelled like, what it sounded like, what the examiner might say or ask, you know, my pre-flight passenger brief, before takeoff checklist, my climb out, how, what it feels, what the sight picture looks at. I visualized everything and I passed on my first attempt. So you can say maybe I was prepared anyways, but I think visualization is very, very helpful. And you can look at a lot of things, athletes and performers who also do that, who are very successful as well. So that's what I was talking about, right? And unfortunately, we're not going to have the time to do it on the podcast. So I'm going to make it as a bonus episode for those in the check ride prep course for Part-Time Pilot. So our check ride prep course, or if you have the online ground school and check ride prep bundle, it'll be in your check ride prep bonus course. So I'm still creating that. I realize the reason we can't have it on the podcast is it's a very, very long script. So I'm going to put that audio of that script as a bonus episode in that bonus course, but I'm also going to have the script as a downloadable PDF so that you can kind of adjust it, because it's a generality, right, of how a check ride might go. And you might know certain things that are going to be different, you know, maybe the weather, maybe the runway. And those details matter when you're visualizing. And so I'm going to put that stuff in the bonus course of the check ride prep course. All right. So yeah, it'll be a little bit too long. It'll probably span a few episodes if we did it on here. So we're not going to do it on here, but instead I got something even better suited for the podcast and even quicker for you guys to do here today. We're going to go over my top 10 tips for the check ride oral and my top 10 tips for the practical of your check ride. But before we get to that, I want to talk about our spring scholarship. So on Friday, I released the application. That application link is going to be put in the show notes. So it's open, and it's open until this Friday, the 17th. That's when it'll close. We'll take no more applications after that. It's open to anyone flight training in the U.S. You'll have to prove that you're flight training. So for any rating, but as long as you're currently flight training in the U.S., so you don't have to be a member of our online ground school for this particular scholarship. Our three other scholarships that we do throughout the year, you do have to be a member. And even if you've applied to those other scholarships, you're going to have to apply to this one as well. It's a different application. So no matter if you've applied to any of our scholarships before, you're going to have to apply to the scholarship. And so that link is in the show notes, and it's open until this Friday. That's when we'll close it. Then I'm going to pick some finalists, and then we're going to have the finalists make a short video why they deserve the scholarship. And we're going to play that on the podcast. And we're also going to post it on our social media for each of the finalists. And you guys are going to vote on the winner. So it's a GoFundMe. It's a fundraiser for the spring scholarship. It started with a $1,000 donation from myself. Then I worked hard to get some sponsors. You know, shout out to Plain English, the AR, the Aviation Radio Simulator app, which is awesome. Core Aviation, who sells headsets and a fantastic company. They also donated. Fly Like a Local, really cool app, also donated. And Katana, organization, nonprofit that's going to do scholarships, also donated. Really cool. Shout out to those sponsors. Then we also, you know, shared the GoFundMe link and took some small donations from you guys out there. Some of them were almost $100, $50, $10, whatever. So that GoFundMe is still live, and we're still going to fundraise up until we give all of it away. So the winner is going to get everything that's in the GoFundMe. So let's try and get that as big as possible. Our goal is 10,000. I'm not sure where it's at the time of recording this. I think we're about halfway there. So yeah, please share that GoFundMe. That link is also in the show notes. Donate if you can. We'll continue to get that. And then remember, the deadline is on Friday, May 17th to apply. And that link is also in the show notes. So that's the spring scholarship. Good luck on that for those of you that apply. And without further ado, let's get to the top 10 tips for both your CheckRide oral and then 10 more tips for your CheckRide practical exam. Hey pilots, this is Nick. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast, you may have heard us talk about Core Aviation headsets and how with the coupon code PARTTIMEPILOT, you can get 10% off and free shipping. Well, I just wanted to let you know that that got better. You can now get 15% off and free shipping. So an extra 5% off on Core Aviation headsets. These are a fantastic beginner headset. Now I say beginner just because they are at a beginner price. You know, when we're starting off with flight training, we want to keep all our funds for flight training because it is so expensive. And this gives us that affordable option to do that. But then it's not exactly a beginner headset because I have still had my Core Aviation headsets that I got way back when I was a student pilot. It's almost 5 years ago. It's still working great and I've had zero problems with it. So with that 15% off now, use coupon code PARTTIMEPILOT. I'll put a link in the show notes. But with that, you get 50% off, you get free shipping, you can get your very own headset for I think less than $100 still. So, and or you can get their more advanced headset for less than $200. That is a steal, and it is way better than sharing those sweaty old headsets that have issues and connection issues at your flight school. So go ahead and check out Core Aviation headsets and use code PARTTIMEPILOT. Okay, so these tips are downloadable as a PDF inside the Part-Time Pilot CheckRide Prep Program inside the bonus course. So inside your membership, you just go to courses and then it'll say bonus. It gets downloads and video vault for CheckRide Prep. So you click on that course and then you can find the top 10 tips PDFs and download them and print them off if you want. So this one is for the CheckRide oral. So these are just specific to the oral, and then we'll do 10 tips for the practical exam. Okay, tip number one. Nailing your oral exam will set you up for the best chance of success on your practical flight exam. So the more prepared you are for the oral, the less time it'll take, the less stressful it will be, and the more confident your examiner will be in your abilities as a PIC. So what this is saying is the number one way to ensure your success on the practical exam is to just absolutely crush the oral exam and be completely prepared for the oral exam. It's going to make that quicker. It's going to make you less stressed out. It's going to make you less tired and emotionally drained. And it's going to give confidence in your examiner that you know your stuff, you're sharp. They're going to feel safe and confident in your competence as a pilot when you get to the practical check ride. It's going to set you up for success. It's the same thing I say about ground school. There's so many students out there who put ground school on the back burner, and I totally get it. It's more fun to go fly than it is to study ground school, 100%. But really nailing and understanding the ground school content sets you up for success in your flight lessons. It keeps you mentally ahead of the aircraft, allowing you to actually fly and react to the things that are happening while you're flying rather than thinking about how certain things work, trying to remember how to use the VOR or how to remember how to read an altimeter, whatever. It's going to keep you and give you success in your flight lessons. So the same thing I say about ground school, I'm going to say here about the oral exam. It's the best way to set yourself up for success for the practical part. Okay, that was tip number one. Tip number two, organize the information you will need into folders. That includes aircraft maintenance logs, pilot documentation and logbook, cross-country plan, and supporting source information for that cross-country plan. So things like weather data and stuff like that, weight and balance, POH and /AFM, proof flight manual, and your FAR AIM. So have that all organized and easy to grab right away. So get there early, have it out on a desk or in your flight bag, and just each in its own folder, right? So you could have a folder of your cross-country plan and supporting documents. You could have your logbook right there and ready. You've already gone through, you've organized it, you made sure it's correct. Your documentation, maybe in your kneeboard, have it all separated and ready to go. It's gonna show when your examiner says, hey, show me your logbook. You pull that out, boom, it's all organized, it's good. Or, you know, show me your cross-country plan. Boom, you get that out on your chart. You show them on your chart. They ask you, where'd you get this information? Boom, you open up this folder. Here's all the weather data that I printed off and the sources I got it from, aviationweather.gov, all that. When you look organized, again, it's going to give that examiner confidence that you know what you're doing, and it's going to make that oral exam go smoother. Tip number three, review your minimum flight hour requirements with your flight instructor in your logbook and clean up your logbook so it is easy to read and it's easy to find things like cross-country solos, night hours, solo hours, etc. So I alluded to this in the last one, but when I was a student, sometimes flight training takes a while and you have to redo flights and sometimes you make mistakes in there. And when I went through my logbook, there was mistakes in how I added up everything and I started to cross things off. It got kind of confusing, got kind of messy. So I literally just bought a new logbook and I went from the very beginning. I had my instructor sign off the things and we just kind of like supplemented it so it made sense. It was organized. You may not want to get a new logbook like I did because you have those signatures on certain things and endorsements in that one logbook, but maybe start a new page. Maybe get some whiteout on some of the things, like the numbers, and just make it look clean and tidy and make sure it's accurate with the correct amount of numbers. And then you can even tab it to make sure you can easily flip to, okay, here's my cross-country hours, maybe a different tab color is your solo hour total. Stuff like that, make it easy to read for the examiner and yourself and make sure it's accurate. All right, tip number four, meet a day or two before your check ride with the aircraft mechanics so they can show you the inspections and airworthiness directives are met and properly recorded in the aircraft logbooks and so that you can ask them any questions that may come up. Make sure you have the most current aircraft logs and most current aircraft empty weight and information to calculate weight and balance. All right, so this is really big because someone at my flight school, so I'm gonna give a couple examples. They did not do this, right? And they used the empty weight from the POH. And the empty weight for that aircraft had actually updated and no one had updated the POH. It was actually the updated empty weight is usually if it changes, right? Because they've installed something that's permanent into the aircraft and changes the empty weight. If that changes, the update is usually going to be in the maintenance logbooks. And the student didn't know that, so they calculated with the wrong empty weight. The examiner caught it and he failed them on their check ride. Another example was on my own check ride. I smartly, I'm glad I did this, met with, you know, went over the logbooks beforehand. There was an airworthiness directive that was, I believe it was an airworthiness directive. It's almost like 7 years ago or something like that now, 8 years ago, that was not met, right? So I read the airworthiness directives that were in there and I understood when they need to be done and it was not met for the aircraft. And so that could have been something that failed me. It's a bad look for the flight school and the mechanics, 100%. So you can't always just rely on other people, especially when you're the PIC. You have to rely on you and yourself only to know exactly everything that's going on with that aircraft. And that's how the examiner is going to grade you. So make sure, and if you meet with the mechanics, have them show you everything. It'll allow you to correct those things right then and there. If you do it a couple days before, it'll give them time to correct any issues that are right then and there. So you may also want to do a pre-flight inspection of the aircraft. If you find anything while the mechanics are there, you can tell them, hey, can we get this fixed before the check ride? Another example was on my check ride. During my pre-flight check, there was a bolt missing on the nose cone, on like the, you know, the nose cone, the cowling that goes over the propeller nose. And so we had a discontinuance because we found that that could have been something that failed me as well. Yeah, I was very upset at my flight school at that time. So look for those things ahead of time, a couple days ahead, so you can get them fixed and make sure everything's good to go for the aircraft that you're going to use. All right, I believe we're on tip number 5. Mark the pages of the aircraft logbooks where the most recent required inspections and AD services can be found, so you can easily flip to them and show the examiner. So recurring ADs and like annuals and 100 hours and all inspections, right, are done on a recurring basis, right? So annual every year, 100 hour every 100 hours, transponders every 24 months, whatever. So you just want to show the examiner the most recent one and verify that it's within, you know, the required time for whatever it is, right? So if it's the annual, you want to find the most recent one, show them that, hey, it's been done within a year, it meets the requirement, right? And it's been signed off by the examiner. So you want to mark those most recent ones so that you can easily flip to them. And again, this is all about making that oral exam go smooth and organized. So go ahead and just put some sticky notes on there and make your life easier for those. All right, number 6, I believe. Tab specific sections of your FAR AIM using a color coding system with a legend inside the front cover so that you can easily find sections within the FARs. Now, I didn't do this because I didn't think it was necessary. I kind of had a good understanding of the table of contents of the FAR AIM. But people that do this, again, this is the same type of thing I'm talking about. Just make it easier on you during the check ride. They even sell these FAR AIMs that are already tabbed that you can check out. I recommend just doing that yourself. One, the act of doing it will have you better understand how to navigate the FAR AIM, and it's not that hard. You just got to buy some sticky notes, so it doesn't make sense to pay a premium for that. So I would do it yourself, and again, it just makes things easier, more organized, makes you look better. And during the oral exam, if you don't know something or you need to make something clear when they ask you a question, you are allowed to reference the FAR AIM. You know, you don't want to do it for every question, but maybe once or twice. Say, you know, I'm pretty sure it's this, but let me just verify in the FAR AIM that FAR, and you just flip to it. That's going to look good, right? Because I think an examiner doesn't expect every single pilot to know the FARs exactly to the word. Because in real life, you're going to be able to look these things up when they come about, especially if it's something that doesn't happen every day, like you change addresses or something, like what's the FAR on that? So, okay, you look it up, right? That's totally understandable. And the examiners, most examiners, hopefully there's not any jerks out there who won't let you do that, but that's kind of the idea of tabbing the FAR AIM and being prepared for that. All right, number 7, study situational-based real-life example scenarios like we give in the part-time pilot check ride prep course. So don't study rote memorization for your check ride oral. That's things like multiple choice questions like on the written. Study the fundamental concepts and how they apply to real-life flying scenarios. So we have a bonus course inside our memberships called the 5-Step Study Hack. And in that, I talk about first principle thinking. First principle thinking was first talked about, I think we even did a podcast, a bonus episode on the podcast. It was first introduced by Aristotle, right? And when you think of a thinker in history, who doesn't think of Aristotle? And then big, really like successful, smart people of today's age. One is Elon Musk is quoted in saying that he, whenever he just attacks a problem, he uses first principle thinking. Just a quick recap of what that is basically you have a problem and you strip it of any thoughts, theories, biases, whatever. You just get rid of it. You strip it down to its core parts. And then you say, what are the facts of each of these parts? And then you say, okay, what is our objective and how do these parts with these facts that we know are true, how do we get to that? And when you strip it down like that and you build from the foundational first principles of something, you can come up with very unique solutions. One example is like a chef, right? So I can go read a recipe off a box of cookies or a bag of, you know, chocolate chips or whatever to make some cookies, and I'm following that recipe exactly. Now, a really good pastry baker, right, might say, okay, the cookie needs: eggs, flour, sugar, chocolate chips, right? And that master chef might change that ratio because they look at the constituent parts, they know what each tastes like, and then they can determine the ratio of what they need. They might be able to add other things like some citrus or other flavors that give it some pop and make it different and unique and extraordinary. And that's why they're master chefs and they make millions of dollars doing what they do. Or maybe not millions, but you know, they're very successful at what they do because they understand the ingredients at the most basic level, what taste profile those ingredients have, and how it pairs with other things. And that's how they create unique recipes, right? So that's kind of an example of first principle thinking. And that's what you want to do when you're studying for the check write, because the examiner isn't going to ask you a multiple choice question. They're not going to ask you to verbatim, we kind of mentioned this before, verbatim tell you what a FAR is. They're going to ask these things in situational, real life based type of questions, like scenario type questions. Like you might be going through your flight scenario, you know, your flight plan, and they might say, okay, well, say today was 20 degrees warmer. What might we look at when we're flying between this checkpoint and this checkpoint? You know, they're going to give you like a scenario, right? So you have to think of, okay, 20 degrees warmer. We're flying on this heading. There's some terrain here. Just look at the first principles of the situation, and that when you do that, you're going to figure out what the intent is behind the examiner, right? So in that example, it might be, oh, they're saying it's warmer and there's terrain that we have to climb above. Our performance is lower when it's warmer, so we might be worried about being able to climb in our little aircraft over this terrain. So that's probably their intent of this question. So when you strip it down to that first principles in any scenario type of question that you get, you'll be able to get to a solution. So that's my advice on that when studying for the check write, understanding the concepts at a fundamental level. Okay, I think we're on tip number 8. Any info used for the calculations made for your cross-country plan should be printed and brought with you. Make a neat, organized binder or folder to bring with you as a hard copy back. All right, so we all have iPads and 4 flights and we got all the weather data. We can just click update and that's great. I highly recommend that because you can quickly update it and right before your flight, you can click update and get updated weather. That's great. It's awesome. It's a requirement, honestly. But all the calculations you made those, you know, the morning of or the night before. And your examiner is going to want to know how you calculated that stuff. And you might need to reference some of that data. Let's say you fly to a different altitude or you have to divert and you go to a different airport. You're going to want to have this data. If your iPad or something breaks down, fails, you want to have that as a hard copy backup. And you also want to have that to be able to show, this is the data I use. This is the source I use to calculate these things. Because your examiners might and probably will ask you, you know, where'd you get the information to do this? And they want to make sure you're getting it from a good source. And if you have that neat, organized, and as a hard copy backup, it's going to make the examiner happy. All right, tip number 9, be prepared to be asked about everything you miss on the FAA written exam. Be on the lookout for these questions to be hidden in your scenario. For example, if you miss a question on density altitude, look out for your examiner to lead you to an area where density altitude is a risk in the scenario he, she gives you. So we kind of talked about that density altitude scenario before. It's a great example. But as you know, on your FAA written test report, with your grade, there's codes of the subjects of the questions you missed. Your examiner gets that, and when they're preparing for your check write oral and your check write exam, the whole plan they have for you that day and the scenario they give you, they're required to cover those areas that you miss on the exam. So if you missed one on like landings, right? You know, maybe landing hazards, expect some type of scenario based off that hazard to be asked about in the oral or to be given you in your practical flight. Maybe you missed something on density altitude. I talked about that. So they might throw that into the scenario. Be on the lookout and study up on all those things you missed on the FAA written exam because you're going to be asked about them. All right. Tip number 10, our last tip, I believe, for the check write oral. If you don't know the answer to a question, it's okay to say, I don't know, but I know where to find it, and then proceed to look it up in the FAR AIM. Now, you can't do this for all of them, right? Because the examiner is looking for a trend. Do you have a trend of knowing all the information or the vast majority of it? Or do you have a trend of not knowing and having to look everything up, right? They don't want to see a trend. Probably starts to get a trend after 2 times. So maybe once or twice you can do this. But again, like I mentioned before, when you have it tabbed, that also shows a skill that you know where to find it, right? So doing that once is okay, but don't rely on that, of course. That's a part of the tip with, you know, having your file name there, organized, tabbed, all that. It's there as a useful reference, and make sure anything you reference is from the FAA, okay? Or it's from an FAA source, like weather source or whatever like that. So we don't want to, don't pull up part-time pilot, as great as we are. You don't want to pull up part-time pilot because your examiner may have never heard of us and doesn't know that we built our stuff based off the FAA. They don't know that. They just want to see FAA material, okay? All right, so that is the top 10 tips for the Check Ride Oral. Again, you can print that off as a PDF inside your bonus downloads course inside the Check Ride Prep program at Part-Time Pilot. So now let's move on to the top 10 tips for the practical exam. Tip number one for the practical flight portion of your Check Ride is ask your instructor what DPE, designated pilot examiner, they recommend. They may have one that, so this is obviously before the Check Ride exam, they may have one that they usually send their students to, and they will be more familiar with what to expect from this examiner, and they should be tailoring kind of the way they teach and prepare you during the few flights that you'll prepare specifically for the Check Ride, you know, based off how that examiner does. Because, you know, if their student fails, they're going to change how they prepare that student for that. And so their habits of preparing you are going to be based off that examiner. So I would highly recommend using that examiner that they use if you can help it. Tip number two, meet a day or two before your check ride with the aircraft mechanics and do a complete pre-flight check with them. This way, if you have any questions or concerns, they can be answered right then and there. So we talked about this for the oral exam as well. During the oral exam, you're going to be going over the inspections and stuff in the aircraft maintenance logs. And then I kind of jumped ahead and said, also do a little pre-flight check, you know, while the mechanics are there. So if you have any questions, you can get that fixed, right? If you find that missing bolt, and do a deep, deep inspection. Try to find any little thing and then have them there to ask them about it. It'd be very, very beneficial and a smart thing to do. Trust me, as the one talking who found a missing bolt on their check ride, you don't want to risk that, all right? Tip number three, for the day of the check ride, schedule the airplane you usually fly with and schedule it for the entire day. So if there's an airplane you most often fly with that you feel the most comfortable with, schedule that aircraft and schedule it for the entire day if your flight school will let you. If they won't let you, make sure no one is kind of before you. Again, this is because when you do that pre-flight check with the mechanics, you don't want someone to go maybe fly it and that morning and maybe something happens to it right during that flight and it throws you all off. And then on the flip side, you want to do the aircraft that you're most comfortable with and fly the best with, because every aircraft is a little different, and so might as well give yourself the best chance at success. Okay, tip number four. The night before your check ride, chair fly and visualize yourself performing each maneuver and action perfectly using checklists and procedures for each maneuver like those in Part-Time Pilot Check Ride Prep Program. Okay, so I talked about this, chair flying and visualization. We're actually going to have a guest on coming up on the podcast on visualization. And then I talked about we're going to make a visualization kind of script and program that we'll put as a bonus in the Check Ride Prep Program. The more specific you can be in your visualization, and you want to make sure you have good thoughts on that. Now you can think of, you know, what to do if something were to go awry, but you want to generally visualize things going well. You don't want to visualize things going bad. But so go through your entire flight. You should have an expectation, especially if your examiner knows the DPE, right? They're going to know generally what the DPE takes their students through. So you're going to have a good idea. You're going to be able to write a script, like the script we're going to write and put in the Check Ride Prep as a bonus. You know, you can take that script and kind of adjust it a little bit specific for your aircraft checklists, for your runway, airports, all that. And, you know, just visualize the whole thing, mimic everything. Think of the details, think of the smell, think of how it would look, think of how it would hear or what it would sound like. All those little details are going to put your mind, make it seem like your mind's going to believe that you're actually doing it. So by the time you get to doing it, your mind's going to have that confidence that it's already been there, done that. So highly recommend. I did that. I'm a huge believer in visualization. All right, tip number five. On the day of the check ride flight, show up a couple hours early to give the aircraft a thorough pre-flight check and even to start the engine and let the engine warm up a little bit. So Again, this goes back to scheduling the aircraft all day. Let's say you have your oral exam, then you got to show up before your oral exam, but do a pre-flight check that day, you know, because there might have been students that have flown it since the last time you did a pre-flight check. And if you find anything, you might have, you know, the last minute have it get fixed or whatever. Any issues, you know, you can get that sorted out. And the reason I said you can start the aircraft engine is some of these trainer aircrafts, at least at my flight training, when it was cold, when the engine was cold, they were a bitch to get started. And one of the things that I got docked on for my practical flight was my instructors had taught me a procedure to get the engine started when they're cold that was not in the POH and was not recommended by the manufacturer. So that was not kosher. We shouldn't have been doing that. The POH said to prime with like three pumps or something like that when it's cold, but that would always seemingly flood the engine. Maybe the primer was squirting too much fuel in there and we needed to do less. Not sure. Not sure what the issue was. My flight instructors had this way of kind of like quickly pulling up the throttle and closing it again. I don't know what that does exactly. You know, obviously it opens the fuel line and airline to get in there. So maybe just that burst, quick burst allows it to ignite. But it worked, right? It worked consistently. That was the one thing that worked consistently. So I did that on my check ride exam and I kind of got docked a little bit for that. So what I'm saying is get there early, get the aircraft engine warmed up because the warmer it is, the easier it is to start, right? You don't have to prime it. You don't have to do any stupid tricks like that that aren't in the POH AFM. And then that leads me to say, follow the POH AFM procedure for starting the aircraft. Okay, so all these tricks you have up your sleeve to make your day easier. And one of those things is get there early, do a pre-flight check and get the engine warmed up. If you have the aircraft scheduled all day, you might as well, right? All right, tip number 6. Schedule your aircraft at your home airport where you're familiar with nearby checkpoints and visual aids. Use well-known to you visual aids on your cross-country plan, just like we explain in our check ride prep program on that. So I think this most people will schedule this at their home airport, but I know that DPEs, there's not a lot of them in some places, especially more rural areas, and some people have to travel to find a DPE, and if you have to do that, then okay. If that's the case, I recommend going and flying with an instructor in that nearby area at least once or twice to get a good idea of the areas, the visual checkpoints, and to get yourself familiar with the area before your check ride. Again, anything you can do to make that day easier for yourself, I think is worth it. So obviously your home airport is best, you know, where you learn to fly, where you're familiar with the checkpoints and visual aids. But if you can't do that, then I recommend getting to know that area. Maybe you can't do that. Maybe you can't afford that or something. You can go on Google Maps, get some satellite images of things, look at that, and then look at the charts, circle some good visual checkpoints, things like that to familiarize yourself with the sight picture from up in the sky. Now, 7? Yeah. Be prepared to fly without your GPS. It is common for examiners to remove GPS or iPads and make you prove you can navigate with more analog methods and old school ground-based navigation systems, pilotage, and dead reckoning. So this is what happened to me. I know that they're doing this less and less, and they do allow you to use, you know, your iPad for flight, GPS, things like that, especially if it's installed in the aircraft. They do allow you to use that, but if they see you relying on it too much, they can still take it away from you. My examiner, before I could even rely on it, just told me that my iPad was on fire. So luckily my flight instructor had prepared me that they might do this. So I knew that we can put it in a flame retardant bag, fire extinguisher bag, or you can toss it out the window. You just want to get the flame, especially a battery flame like that, out of the aircraft and away safely. But after that, the examiner said, you don't have your iPad anymore, so we got to navigate and continue our flight. So I had to use VORs and things like that. Luckily, I was prepared for that. And so I want you guys to remember, be cognizant of that and be prepared for that as well. And again, I always say this, knowing how to use ground-based navigation and VORs, there's a lot of stuff online about that, how people hate them because they're confusing, and I totally get that, and that the FAA is getting rid of them, they're decommissioning them. That is not true. They're decommissioning some. They're decommissioning the redundant ones. You know, they're trying to save money, make it more efficient, but they're still going to have a minimum network of VORs for IFR aircraft, VOR or VFR aircraft to travel from all the major areas around the U.S. So they're not going anywhere, at least for now. And it makes sense, right? We want to have redundant systems and backups when we're flying. It just makes us safer, better pilots. So understanding how to use ground-based navigation systems, pilotage, and dead reckoning are just more redundant ways that we can keep ourselves safe and navigate should something go wrong. So be prepared for that. One thing that's kind of a bonus tip here is if you are going to have, right, if they take away your iPad, you're going to have to use your chart, right? So they might say, they might take your iPad and then they might get you lost. This is what happened to me. They told me to close my eyes, put my head down, and they took me somewhere. And then they said, okay, you're lost. Let's find where you are. So I didn't have my iPad, so I had to use my chart. I dialed into a couple of VORs. I triangulated VORs while I was circling. I found where we were. And then I said, okay, here we are. And they said, okay, let's divert. Let's go back to the airport or something like that. And then they had some simulated emergencies before we got there. But anyways, they wanted me to use that chart to find it. So I had to get out that big old chart. I had to draw, you know, the lines from the VORs to see where we were, all that stuff. And that's tough to do while you're flying, right? So luckily, I had practiced this before, and I realized that I don't need to open the chart all the way, right? I'm not flying in this entire area. I know generally where I'm going to fly. I know we're probably not going to go outside this area on our sectional chart. So I made a custom fold of my chart so that it just literally opened once. It fit into my kneeboard. I pulled it out. I opened it once, and boom, right there was just the area. And it was about 9 inches by 9 inches, maybe a little bit smaller. And it was just the area surrounding my home airport that I knew we were going to fly in. So I pulled that, and my examiner even mentioned, like, wow, nice, that's a good idea. So I pulled that, and it was small. I wasn't holding it up, like losing my sight picture or obstructing, you know, the yoke or anything like that. It was right there on my kneeboard. I could easily write on it, stuff like that. So that is a pro hack right there for your charts, especially when you know where you're going to fly, right? Okay, and then if you do fly outside of that, you can always undo that fold, right? It's not the end of the world. Okay, that was tip number 8. So tip number 9 is use your checklist for every portion of flight and do not forget. I repeat, do not forget to perform clearing turns before each set of maneuver. Okay, they can fail you for this if you do not do clearing turns, and you should also just announce it. So if they say, okay, we're going to do, you know, turns around a point, you say, okay, let me do some quick clearing turns. You're going to turn to the right, take a look, see if there's any traffic. You're going to turn to the left. Okay, look. And then you're going to state your intentions on the local traffic radio and say, hey, this is my aircraft. I'm over this point and I'm at this altitude and I'm doing some maneuvers. Okay, so you want to state your intentions. You want to do your clearing turns. And do them every time. And if your examiner, this actually happened to me, my examiner said, all right, we don't have to do the clearing turns every time. But that's okay. They're not going to dock you for being extra safe, right? So you want to be on that side. You want to edge to that side of being too safe, right? And checklists. Don't forget your checklists. Always do your checklists, right? Every checklist you have for your aircraft, don't forget your checklists. Pull them out and use them. Don't forget them. All right. Last one. Tip number 10. Remember, your check ride is not over until you have taxied back to your flight school, put on the parking brake, shut off the engine, parked the aircraft, tied the aircraft down, performed a post-flight inspection checklist, recorded engine time, put on sunshades and chocks, turned in keys, and shook the examiner's hand. Only then, when you and the examiner are away from the propeller and in a safe area, only then is your check ride finished. The examiner can look for and find a mistake that will fail you up until the very last second of the flight. And I've actually heard of that happening. Now, it's kind of a jerk move to do that, but I've heard of it happening. And let's say you made some mistakes in other parts of the check ride, then one more mistake they could be looking for to fail you. So don't forget to finish the job. Don't get complacent when you're taxiing back, when you're parking, when you're doing your post-flight inspection, all that stuff. So make sure you finish it. All right. Okay, so that's the top 10 tips for the practical flight portion of your exam. We already did the oral portions of the exam, and hopefully you guys found those helpful. Again, you can download these if you're inside the Checkride Prep course. Just go to my courses, go to the bonus Checkride Prep downloads and video vault. We got some videos. We got the mock Checkride video in there. We have a bunch of other downloads. We got stuff for cross-country planning. We got a video series for your Checkride, preparing for your Checkride, stuff like that. All good stuff. And then don't forget to apply to the scholarship. Application closes on the 17th on Friday. So don't forget. And please share that GoFundMe. We're going to keep fundraising for the winner of that scholarship up until the very end. Our goal is $10,000. Really want to change somebody's life here. That's what we're all about, a part-time pilot. So anything you can do to help us do that would be highly, highly appreciated. All right, guys. Until next week, take it easy. Hey guys, it's Nick. I want to take a second to speak directly to the student pilots out there. You might be a student pilot that is, wondering what to do next, how to get started, or maybe you're looking for the right ground training or flight training, or maybe you've already started ground training or flight training and you're stuck, you're in a rut, and you're looking for a change, something to help get you out of that hurdle. From my own experience in flight training, after 3 years, 5 instructors, and $22,000, and wanting to quit multiple times, and then now, after seeing hundreds and hundreds of student pilots through part-time pilot, I've realized that the number one thing that makes student pilots fail is that they do not have a good fundamental understanding of the ground training when they get to the more advanced flight lessons. Now, who here has seen Top Gun Maverick? Do you remember in the movie when he says, "Don't think, just do"? Now, when I heard this, I was like, oh my goodness, this is brilliant, because this is exactly what you have to be as a pilot. Now, of course, it's not that we're not thinking, but it's that we understand things like weather, aerodynamics, what our instruments are telling us, what ATC is telling us. We have such a good core fundamental understanding of these things that we don't have to think about them. And when we don't have to think about them, we can instinctively feel and fly the aircraft, look out for dangers, and avoid emergency situations. If we do have to think about these things, it's going to put us behind mentally, and we're going to be behind the aircraft. And when you're behind the aircraft mentally, bad things happen. And this happens when you don't have a good understanding of the ground school content. So now, the first 10 to 15 hours of your flight training can go smooth, even if you don't have a good understanding of ground training, right? You can go up for a discovery flight, have a blast. You can go up, learn how to take off, learn how to land. You may be even able to solo for the first time, fly a plane for the first time. Everything's great and dandy. But once you get into, bad weather flying, or flying at heavily trafficked airports, or speaking with ATC for Bravo clearance, or cross-country flight planning and flying solo on a cross-country flight, things get a little more advanced. And when this happens and you don't have a good understanding of the ground school concepts, you're gonna hit a wall. You're gonna start to get behind the aircraft. And when this happens, if you have a good flight instructor, they're going to stop you and they're going to say, okay, we need to do one-on-one ground lessons. And now you're going to be paying your flight instructor to not even fly with you, but instead $50, $60, $70 an hour to just teach you the ground school content that you should already know. And the worst part is you're not flying with them. So the flight training that you gain, the currency, the proficiency that you gained, is going to be lost, and you're going to have to redo those lessons. What happens to most student pilots is they continuously hit these mental blocks where they get behind the aircraft, they start making mistakes, and then they catch up with the ground knowledge only to have that happen again. And they start to get in this vicious cycle of having to redo trainings and repay for trainings until it gets to the point where them or their family, they finally say, you know what, this has to stop. We can no longer afford the training costs without any progress, and they end up quitting. Now, so how do we avoid that? Well, here comes part-time pilot. Again, I said I went through my own experience of this, and I realized that most flight training and ground training is not tailored to the modern-day student pilot. And when I say modern-day student pilot, I just say modern-day part-time student pilot, because let's face it, there's a very small percentage of us that can go and dedicate 24/7, 365 to our flight training, or not even miss a beat and be able to pay for flight training without working. So most of us have a full-time job, or maybe a part-time job. We have kids, we have family, we have school, we have all these other responsibilities on top of flight training. And most of these flight trainings and ground trainings are not tailored towards you. And so how is it the part-time pilot tailors to the modern day student pilot? Well, the first way we do that is by keeping ground school interesting. You want to avoid being boring, you want to avoid that burnout. So how we do that is we present our material in multiple ways, and you're actually listening to one of them right now. You can consume our content via this podcast and an audio recording. You can do this while you're running, while you're driving in traffic, again, tailoring to that busy part-time student pilot. Or you can read through our written lessons. I like to read, so for those of you that like to read, you can read through the lessons. You can see the step-by-step examples and the procedures that we have. Or you can look through our study guide and see our diagrams and mnemonic devices, have that visual cue, those visual cues and aids that help further your understanding. Or you can watch our videos. Or you can take our quizzes and practice tests to reinforce what you just learned. And then finally, you can join us live weekly for our live Q&A and our live lessons so you can see in real time these things taught out and these examples done in real time. And then finally, you can utilize our group community to form study groups, get questions answered 24/7. All of this is tailored for the modern day student pilot to keep ground school interesting, keep it from being boring, keep from having that burnout, and to find ways that you can consume the content throughout your busy schedule. And guess what? It works. We've had over 350 student pilots come through, take and pass their FAA exams without a single student failing. That's right. A single student has yet to tell me that they failed either their FAA written or their FAA check ride. So that is just proof in the pudding right there that our concepts, the way we explain things in plain written English, and the way we give you multiple ways to consume this content is working. So if this sounds like something you might be interested in and you want to come join us, we'd love to have you. Just go to www.parttimepilot.com, click on Online Ground School, and we'll see you inside the Online Ground School. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.